This episode of the Cutting Edge Podcast is brought to you by GlassGadget.com. Showcase Innovations creates tools that help shower door installers be more efficient and save time. Check out GlassGadget.com for more information. Well, hello, everybody. We are here. Sorry, a few minutes late. I don't know, I just got distracted. But, you know, better late than never. We are here with the shower door professionals, making the world a better place, eliminating shower curtains across this beautiful land. And glad that you could join us. If you're in the Facebook group watching us there on the live stream, you can come on into the Zoom chat meeting by just simply clicking the link. And I will allow you to come in and hang out. The shower door pros, you can rub elbows virtually with, you know, the best of the best, can I say. Some awesome shower door people here. Hope you're having a great week. We are getting a lot of rain here in beautiful Santa Cruz, California, which is great. You know, we like rain. It's good. It's way better than the drought. Seemed to go on forever. I think the officials say we're still in a drought. We could be 4 feet underwater.
Always in a drought.
They'd say we're in a drought, you know, because I think it's politically or something. But feels pretty bad. But anyway, hope you guys are having some good weather there. I see that Christina's with us, so I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to her for a minute, see what's new and exciting on the co-op front. What's happening, Christina? Anything new?
Yes, actually, lots of things, fun wow. things. So we met again Tuesday morning. We meet every Tuesday morning as like the little steering committee. If that's something somebody's interested in joining, please reach out. And if you're not, that's also fine. But we are working with some great people who at the Georgia Cooperative Development Center, who have pointed us in a lot of good directions, given us a lot of resources to start working with a CPA and an attorney who specialize in cooperative startups. And they're particularly impressed by this Facebook group all together as a whole and professionals who want to work together the way that we all do. It's hard to get people together like this. So shout out to Chris for everything he's done to get to this point, us as an industry and a group. The actual update is that we found a solar cooperative. It's not that obviously not the same industry or even that similar, but similar enough to get some more information from them about how their membership dues work. And so we're gonna read some case studies. We're gonna work with the solar cooperative. I know Billy Britt set up a meeting with one of the members of the Amicus Solar Cooperative for probably Friday, maybe. And then I actually haven't told the steering committee this yet. Sorry, guys. But we have a friend from Amicus Solar joining us in our Tuesday morning meeting next week to actually talk about how they set their membership dues and how their startup began and really talk through their bylaws and all that good stuff. So he's going to join us. He agreed to help us out, which is lovely and awesome. And we're just cooking with gas, getting it done. We're at the point with our bylaws where we need to start talking about the financial part. So this is kind of hard, but we're getting there. And then we'll bring in the attorney, and then we'll have some more concrete information for all of you with FAQs, with open forum conversations to talk through everything and get our membership going and get our website live. Did I miss anything? Anybody who knows what I'm talking about?
No, I mean, you covered more stuff than I knew about, so that's awesome. I mean, it'll be exciting to have someone, a visitor, come to our little meeting and tell us a little bit about their experience of, you know, being in a co-op and how that got set up and, you know, some of those details. And if any of you are interested in learning more, just want to stay in the loop, Rob has posted the links there in the chat room. It's just showerdoorprofessionals.com. Go there and you can see what's going on, the latest news. You can sign up. It's awesome. You'll be glad you did, right?
How many do you have signed up so far?
How many? Christina? Rob?
Rob's going to know the latest number.
Around 40.
Wow.
Very good.
Yeah, awesome. That's a good start.
That's very good. Congrats to both of you. Christina, Chris, everybody on the crew. That's good.
Yeah. It's exciting stuff, man. Awesome. Well, yeah. Well, thanks. And let's see. Is there anything that anyone's kind of itching to talk about this evening? Got a question or a topic that...
I want to talk about Adrian's Phantom that he put in today and posted up there. Because he said that was his first one. So did he do the install? Andrea, did you do the install yourself or your brother or junior?
Yes, I installed it. I do all the installs.
You do them all?
I'm all about quality control, man.
How'd you like it?
It was easy. It was really similar to the Cambridge. So it was just figuring out where all the blocks go and stuff for
the stoppers.
Stoppers. That's about it. Pretty much, it was just the same thing. It's just the hardest thing was designing it on Showers Online because it doesn't have a template for that, so I had to do everything from custom. So, but after reading, looking at their templates,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was simple. It was easy.
Good.
And the tile work was perfectly square. There was nothing outages or nothing. Everything was perfect.
Awesome.
So it made the job a lot easier. The only thing is that the next time I'll do is when you're dealing with a really high pitch on the ground. It was not too bad, but the exterior door, the sweep was kind of rough on there.
Yeah.
So the next time mm-hmm. I'm going to just take off another 1/8 inch or so off that one, and I think it'd be good.
And you got to know that when you're measuring it, what the pitch is. You actually,
yeah, the pitch.
Yeah.
On your takeoff, you actually should have a spot on there and actually measure the pitch.
Yeah, so, I did that, but I like I said, it was my first one. I didn't want to take off too much and then be too short, you know?
Yeah,
so,
I know.
Because originally I already took off an 1/8 inch from the takeoff that they asked for,
recommended or whatever.
Yeah, with the recommended. Yeah.
Yeah.
I already taken off an 1/8 inch. I even do the same thing to the camera. I always take an eighth inch
do.
Off extra.
Yep.
Just, you know, you got so much play in those down there. So, but, yeah, the next time I'll just fill it around with it again, you know, but overall the install was probably, you know, it didn't take no time. It was starting to rain. So everything was wet. We had to dry everything down and then start installing it, but it was easy.
Yeah, but don't they roll beautifully?
Oh my god! And then the glass handle and the
yeah.
towel bar turned out real good.
Really nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
That could be a cover shot. You get a good shot of that. That could be a cover shot.
Yeah. And then now they're doing another remodel in their bathroom. They want the exact same thing. I'm like, okay.
Nice.
So they're gonna get another one in the house. So.
Did you use low iron on that?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I use low iron probably 95% of the time.
Yeah.
I rarely sell regular standard clear glass. It's 95. I sell it, you know, when you go sell a project and you take samples of two colors, it automatically you sell the low iron like 90% of the time.
So let me ask you on this. Did that particular customer, were you dealing with the homeowner or the contractor?
Contractor.
Okay. And that's one you normally do work for?
All the time.
How did he find out about that door? Did you present it to him or did he research it?
He told me he wanted something different. He didn't want, the customer didn't want nothing like what everybody else has. I'm like, okay. So I presented Perfect. That to them, and yeah, I took pictures from some of the guys already at it, and yep. they liked it, and yeah, so they went with it.
Love it.
And yeah, it was, yeah, they loved it, so it was great. Oh yeah, the customer came in, the presentation of it, when they turned around and looked at it, I'm like, they were speechless. Like, dang, you know, they couldn't say nothing. It was pretty. Yep.
Good job. So
it was a really good install. So I just hope I could sell more of those, because those are good money makers.
Hey, there. One little tip, Adrian, like when you're talking about doing it on showers online. So now that you have done it, you can save that and use it as a template in the future.
Yeah. Oh,
so
yeah.
So then you don't have to redo all that work you did on the first one for the, you know, the whole layouts and everything.
Oh, that's true, huh? I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, do that, man. That'll save some time.
Did you get it right on the first attempt?
Oh yeah.
You didn't have to remake any panels.
Oh, zero. Zero.
Good. Good.
So I take my time when I go out there and measure, I take about a half hour, 45 minutes to measure that. I mean, I just take my time. It's just, I lay everything out, make sure everything is going to go, measure to each point where the glass is going to sit, and make sure it's going to go. You know.
Yeah, so. Usually that's not it. The problem is usually where the holes are for the brackets or the holes for the wheels. If they're too high, too low.
Oh, space. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I was worried about that. I was really worried about that. I even told my helper, hey, I mean, I go, if this doesn't fit, I'm like.
I know.
But it fit. Everything fit perfect. It was just. It was, it was perfect.
I like it a lot.
Yeah, it turned out real nice. Customers were happy. Contractor was, static. He goes, oh, you delivered what I wanted. I'm like, all right. And I do a lot of work for him, so a lot. So he's,
Nice.
Well, we really congratulations on that. I'm glad you liked it. We love it too, and our installers love it because they don't have to cut a bar. It's pre-cut and everything. And also, where was I going with that? Oh, it holds more weight. It holds more weight than a Cambridge. So we actually sell them a lot because people want a double slider in a space that's too wide, or they want taller, a taller enclosure or something like that. So we love that Phantom. I hope that you sell more. I hope everyone gets to. Good for you guys. And the towel bars aren't that expensive.
But now they're like,
we don't need to talk pricing. They're not expensive. You'd think they would be. So very impressed by their products.
Now, when ordering that stuff, what's the turnaround time? Because they're out of state, aren't they?
Yeah, they're out of state, but they keep the headers, I think it's by quarter inch increments in stock. They're pretty quick. And then you just order your glass from your regular supplier. You don't order the whole door from them, just ordered a header and a hardware.
Yeah, I think it only took me like 3 days to get everything. But 3 days for the header, and then 2 days for my glass to come in. So I ordered my glass while so everything came in pretty quick. I was able to get it installed in about a week.
You guys said that it will handle more weight. What's the max width of shower that they can do, and what's the max weight,
Just to
max weight per door. Oh, go ahead, Bill.
No, I was going to say, clarify that, Brian, because it's not just the width. You got to calculate the height, right? You got to get the width. I mean, you got to get the weight of each panel.
Yeah, that's what I said. The max width and the wet max weight.
They will make you a custom bar if you want wider than something they have. But from a weight standpoint, it's 100 pounds per door for two rollers, or I guess that translates to 50 pounds per roller carriage. So if you want two sets of rollers per door, it's 100 pounds per door. And if it goes above that, you need to move up to three sets of rollers per door. Does that make sense?
Do a 200 pounds, it'll handle 200 pounds
I don't know the answer to that. I'm sure there's a max, but I do know that they do the three, you know, the three rollers above 100 pounds. So I don't know the answer to that.
Well, the
one great question.
I've got a shower right now that's 75 plus.
You can do it. You can do it. We just did one. It's not installed. I just sold it, but it's within specs. It's 70, I think it was 78 by 84.
Okay. All right. Three perfect. Rollers that answers my question.
Yeah, three rollers per door.
Nice. Are you just ordering the header from 3-10 and everything else you manufacture?
No, they carry the hardware and the bar, and then you order the doors.
In other words, you're getting the glass header, you're getting the wheels, you're getting the mounting brackets and the guides from them, and then you're ordering your glass panels from your supplier.
Yeah.
Are they giving you a template as far as, say, when you order a certain amount width, are they giving you a template for the optimum location for the rollers and stuff?
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. See, in my thinking, I'm not that concerned about how much weight the rollers hold. I'm thinking about, what, you've got two number 12 screws on each side, right? So each bracket takes two 12s. So how much weight can four number 12 screws support? Because they're supporting the entire weight of the whole system. You know, I mean, So at some point, man, you're pushing that, right?
You can go up to a bigger screw if you choose to. You can go up more than a number 8 screw.
So
you can go
like a 14 or something?
Or you can 10. You're going to add quite a bit of strength just to go up to a 10.
Well, they start at 12s.
Who starts?
If I'm not mistaken, it's like two number 12 screws in each, you know, the brackets.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's, you know, four number 12 screws. That'll hold a lot of weight.
That should hold a plenty. Don't forget, it's pulling down. So that means you have to snap the screw.
It's the sheer strength.
Yeah, it's not pulling out.
Not the tensile strength, but the sheer strength of the screw.
Yeah.
So, and that makes it different than a hinging door that's like hanging off a wall, because it's got to have sheer and tensile strength, right?
That's right.
But yeah. But it's amazing. I mean, it's amazing that's a lot of weight for to put on four screws. But they do
sure
it.
Sure is.
They do it.
But like Christina said, that glass header does not bow at all. There's like zero deflection. And the wheels just, oh my God, they run like they're on a magnetic track that just glides across it. It's beautiful.
It's amazing. 3-10 tempering.
Yeah.
Those guys are awesome. They're great guys too. I mean, like, really great service. I mean, salt of the earth.
Yep.
Shout out.
Yep. I just sent a request for a new account. So,
yeah, my sales rep was with me every step of the way, just helping me out. And yep. And then sent him a picture today, and so that was complete. So, we all could breathe now.
Sounds like a good guest to have. Kind of explain.
Yes.
Right. There you go.
I actually did. Is it Greg Abrams?
Yeah, that is.
Yeah.
That's
I actually did an interview with him like way back in the very beginning when I started this up. I was like interviewing people. Bill Dobbin was on. I had different people come on and just chat kind of one on one early on, and he was on. So, yeah, we should totally have him back on and talk to us. I'll reach out and see if he's interested.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Absolutely.
I got a non-header question, and this might sound like a rookie question, but I'm asking. How do you guys, who have multiple vans out on the road, how do your guys communicate? Are you providing company-owned cell phones, mm-hmm. or do you let them use their personal cell phones? And where I'm going with that is, you know, we try to get in the habit of calling ahead to the customer, and you want it to say, you know, your company name when it rings in, but you know, if they're using their personal cell phones, it's saying their name, for instance. I'm just kind of curious what you all do.
Good question.
We use their own. You know, Mike, that's a really good point, too. Yeah. Every delivery service, we just built a new house a couple of years ago, and I get the furniture delivery, the carpet guys, they all use their own cell phone. You know, I'm expecting somebody, and I'm seeing a Wisconsin area code, and it's the delivery driver. Mm-hmm. I think you get used to it after a while. If the people don't recognize it, they'll let it go to voicemail. Just tell your guys, leave the voice message. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sometimes they won't answer it thinking it's a political fundraising call or a robocall or something. Tell them, let it go to voicemail, leave a message or text. They could text off of that phone. Hey, this is Royal Glass. We'll be there in 20 minutes.
That's probably a better idea. What we found is we a couple months ago just tried to reemphasize calling ahead, you know, letting them know your ETA, et cetera. And what I found, because I wanted to take some of the phone call pressure off of my inside staff, what I found is it increased because the people wouldn't answer the phone. My guys would call the inside staff. They would call the customer. It was a three-way at that point. So I was just curious. I think texting's the way to go, Bill. That's a good idea. I didn't think of that.
Yeah, I'll call the people. If they don't answer, I'll turn around and text and they'll answer me right back.
Yeah.
The other thing, Mike, is early on when cell rates were really high, it was an issue. All the guys didn't like making company calls off of their plan, but almost everybody has unlimited plans now, so it's really not an issue. But early on, when they were charging you call rates, we had to buy company phones. But this goes back to when we had Nextel and the flip phones when it first started. But like I said, everybody's got unlimited plans now. They can send an email and a text, and that would work. It's probably better if it's an unknown area code too, you know?
Yeah. I don't know why I didn't think of the texting. I appreciate that.
But we have follow-up. We always follow-up. We give our customers, when we schedule our time with our customers, our date, we always give them a day ahead text message too, so they'll know that we're coming the next day. And then I use follow-up. I use the text messaging from follow-up, so everybody can see what we're talking about. Even my office, they can see it. And I rarely use texting from my phone directly. I just use follow-up. Just go into the app, and you just text message them through there, and then it just shows that we're Nanda and Sons. And, you know, and then if, say, one of the girls here, if I don't answer, they can answer for me and answer the customer's questions and stuff. If I ignore them or something happens. So we use. Mm-hmm. It's easy. And then everybody can see it.
Yeah, the cool thing about follow-up or service like that is that all of the messages are coming from the same number.
Yeah.
So even though different team members are getting in the conversation, it's all coming from the same number. So they're already expecting that. And I think people are becoming used to getting text messages from businesses and ordering and, you know, doing business that way. That's a really convenient way to communicate, especially something like that.
Yeah, now, Robert wrote in the chat there, and explains it pretty good because they use it through the app. So that way the customer is getting the company name. If all of your installers use it through that app that's set up, so it'll say your company name right there.
Yeah, in our case, it's the follow-up app. But I mean, if you didn't have to go that far, because we use the follow-up app because it combines the email thread and all the other social channel communication. But some people only need the text part to be in one place. So if you have a Gmail, you have a free Google Voice number that's already available to you, and or a WhatsApp number. Those are kind of something you could set up that your entire team could have access to, and everyone could see a common thread and number. Even though it's more of a virtual thing app they'd have to sign into, you grant everyone the ability to see everything in one place and be on the same page, at least from that point.
Yep.
Yeah, that's what we were using is through the, because we, our business line is through Google Voice. So I was just curious if follow-up, does that do the same thing, or is it strictly just the like regular, like it's text messages?
Same concept. It just adds about 5, 6, 7 more communication channels. So you'll see the text thread, the email thread, the call recording, the Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, or TikTok messages that might have come through as well, or the Google My Business. You'll see them all in that one thread versus having to sign into those different platforms to see them. Some businesses don't have that, all those different channels that people have to enter through. So a very cool way to do it is just start with Google Voice to get the concept down if you want a free version of it.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, hey, Cameron, did you get
a... Oh, go ahead.
Hey, Cameron, did you get a hold of Tyler at CW?
Yes, sir. Yeah, he was going to come by actually tomorrow, but had an appointment. So I'm actually meeting up with him next week, early next week.
Okay, perfect. All right.
Yeah, cool. What I was going to say was about Google Voice is it's similar in the way that you can call from the number, you can text from the number, and then you can have different members of your team use that same account so that, you know, you're not handing it off between different people and it's not as confusing. It's just everything's coming from the same number. If they decide to call instead of text, it still rings through to whatever phone you've got connected to. So, follow-ups like that, just not like Rob saying it's like on steroids. I mean, it does that and a whole bunch of other things.
That's great. Yeah, great. I like it.
Yeah, it's what the young people are doing these days, you know. It's the cool kids are doing.
What else is going on, Chris?
What else?
What do we got?
So like, what about the weather where you're at? I mean, how bad does it have to get before it really interrupts your work? I mean, you know, does it have to be disaster level before you start thinking about like rescheduling things, or?
You asking me?
Yeah.
Usually category 2 to category 3.
Yeah.
Yeah. We work through thunderstorms all summer anyhow. We got a thunderstorm almost every day in the summertime. Right now, these guys love it because it's cool and we got long sleeves on. So they don't mind it at all. But yeah, it's really when the wind and the heavy, heavy rains when it's blowing sideways, you just can't work safely. That's about it. I mean, if the customer's got a garage or someone can work in, that's not so bad. But most of the time, we're cutting outside on a blanket. We're not in your house cutting.
Exactly. So that summertime for you, right? The kind of bad weather.
Yeah. Season. Yeah. Bad weather, summertime, wintertime. By next week, and our weather will warm up again, we'll have the best weather in the country through May.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
It'll be like Chamber of Commerce days every day.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it'll start very soon because spring training starts in about 3 weeks.
Yeah,
spring training? What team?
What's that?
What team?
Oh, we have two based in Fort Myers, Red Sox and the Twins. But they play against Braves, Devil Rays. Trying to think of the other teams that come down here. Often Cardinals will play here this year, Phillies, Yankees. There's a lot of Florida-based teams. You got your Cactus League out west, and then the Grapefruit League.
Don't the Yankees play in Florida for their spring training?
Yeah, they're in Tampa. Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, Chris, I was going to circle back on that question about, you know, the weather impacting your work. We've had a couple days here. Well, about one full day and a half a day because of snow and ice, we couldn't get out. But just out of curiosity, how do you all handle that from a payment standpoint with your employees? They come in, they get their vans loaded up or whatever, and you get some. We've had that happen this year. The weather just, say, at 10:30 turns crazy. Roads get slick. They start sending kids home from school. Just, I'd like to hear how some of you guys, you just send them home, and that, you know, when they clock out, that's what they're paid. Or is there anybody given any kind of minimum hours for showing up?
Good question.
I can help you from when I was up north and I ran into that, Mike. So there's two ways. When I was up north, guys were paid by the door. So they were piecework. They didn't show up. There was no money there, right? So they don't come into work. Almost like your carpet installers or flooring installers. So I had different metrics set up for each style door. But down here, they're hourly. And if it's bad weather, they don't come in. I try and let them make it up on a Saturday so they can still get their 40 hours in, is one way. If not, I'll probably make up the 8 hours that they lose and pay them. Again, it's about creating culture. One mistake on culture can really hurt your company. And sometimes it's worth it just to pay them so that they have and take care of their family. Obviously, that's the big deal. But down here, like, during hurricanes, you know, like, give them that day off with pay. Yeah.
I'm in the same mindset.
Yeah.
I just kind of curious where
everybody one bad decision could really ruin everything. It takes you years to build. Now, we do have a PTO program, paid time off, and they're able to use it as an it doesn't count against them as a call out. So, you know, they earn PTO time. So there's times that the guys will use their PTO for the day off instead of working that Saturday. They'll just take the 8 hours.
But is that built up? Because I give three at the beginning of the year, everybody gets three personal days, PTO days to use as they wish. Do you do something like similar? Do they have to build up each week? It's a crude type of thing.
No, but they don't carry over to the next year. But
right, mine don't either. No, mine
right. Don't. So if they get three, they get three. No, it's not that accrual. No.
Okay.
On top of their vacation time too, they get that?
Oh yeah, they get vacation time. Yeah. We've got guys that get 4 weeks vacation that have been here, you know, over 10 years. Anybody, I think it's over 10 years that they get 4 weeks. Paid. I mean, we want them here, right? We increased their benefits this year too. We're paying 60% of their health insurance. It was 50 and we went up to 60 and we increased their 401k percentage. You know, when you start having a good year, I mean, either you pay it back to the government or you give it to your employees. And I'd much rather give it to my employees every day of the week than just cut a check to the government. Every day of the week. Government doesn't come and help us unload trucks or install doors. They only get in the way.
We'll talk about the government. That's going to get a favor.
Now, Mike, to answer your question similarly and a little different, and culture-wise, it's hard to say this, I guess, but like we will find things for them to do in the office because we want our guys to be able to pay their bills and make their rent, but they still in our small company need to add a little bit of value to earn that. Not that, you know, they haven't just by being there, but they like we still need, you know, if we need photos on the website, we give them a laptop, set them up to add photos to the website. If we, you know, need an adjustment on something in the showroom or something in the showroom needs to be cleaned up or they need to clean up a truck or get an oil change or whatever, do things like that. That's how we have a honey-do list that's like a running honey-do list. So if jobs fall through or weather's bad, we have options for our installers. So that's important to us because we really don't have money lying around to just give them because of the weather. Not to say, Bill, anything about, I mean, good on you. That's awesome, but we just can't. And I don't want them to think that we do either.
Christina, it wasn't until recently that were able to do it. I mean, it takes a while to build to that. I remember when we had a handful of guys and I was in the exact same boat. And, you know, it was a struggle. It really was. Every week it was a struggle to make sure that we had enough money to pay them and pay rent and everything else. I mean, they don't stop asking for rent because you had a day off. Mm-hmm. So I mean, the banks didn't say, oh, you don't have to pay for your truck payment this month because you had 2 days of bad weather. So I know exactly what you're talking about, and you're absolutely right. Mm-hmm. We're just fortunate that we have a good team that, you know, we're able to make that kind of money and be able to do it. Mm-hmm. And I think eventually everybody on this call will get to that point. If they choose to grow to that point, they will get to that point because the demand for this product professionally installed is in high demand. Mm-hmm. It'll stay in high demand because young guys really aren't picking up the trade. So, you know, we're sitting in a fantastic position, but you have to look, you know, 15 years down the road, who's going to be doing your installs?
Christine, I think that's a great idea. We do the same thing. I, you know, on bad weather days or if something gets turned around, I love your term honey-do list, but seriously, you know, cleaning up vans, straightening up the shop, reorganizing material. I mean, those are all positive things moving that needle forward. We do the same thing. I think trying to get hours in for them, you know, that's a win-win if you ask me.
I mean, it builds camaraderie too, Christine. You get them in there and you say, hey, we got this project here. We need this rack for these metals rearranged. Let's take an inventory on it. Get them pizza for the day. You know, they don't have to go out, order pizza.
Exactly.
And just have a blast. And you get to know them better that way too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's really good.
Yeah, it is.
You can turn those bad situations into something very, very good in a heartbeat, taking a good attitude like that.
Thanks. There was one day, it was the last December, so over a year ago now, we had a lot of jobs fall through. We weren't getting a delivery from Oldcastle because of some machine was down something, and we just didn't have anything for anybody. And instead of furloughing everyone, which would have been, I guess would have been easier to do, but I felt bad. It's the holidays and everyone needs money, right? But we took a page from everyone's book here on this call, and we talked about the business, and we had like a little lunch and learn almost kind of thing, like a half day about the business. And we did the $100 exercise. So if you have $100, what, you know, pie chart, what does that all go to? You know, how much is actually left over, so that they understand that every little bit counts and this is how things are done. And I think that went a long way for them to think through how they were working. And we got that idea from Shower Door Professionals. So that is also a really good exercise if anybody finds themselves, you know, to have a job fall through or need something. So yeah, anyway, that's my two cents.
You know, I want to fall back on something. I'm changing the topic though, going back to Adrian, who's talking about the reaction the customer had coming in to see that Phantom door. What would you pay to have a GoPro already set up in there and tell the customer, look at when I do the reveal, we're going to have a camera going. Are you okay with that? Because that expression is priceless. I mean, as installers, that's what you couldn't wait to do, is tell them you're done. Come take a look at your door. But if you can film that and use it, that's powerful for testimonial stuff.
That's a great idea. Have you ever actually done that?
Oh, yeah. I've got one on my phone. The guy did. He set up his phone on a little tripod and he asked the customer, he says, when I get all said and done and I'm going to come out and ask you, do you mind if I record that and your reaction? And they were okay. I've had a couple say, no, I don't want to be on camera. But, you know, it's like all of the do-it-yourself TV shows. I mean, the whole climax of the show is bringing the people back to show the house, right? They send them away for a week. They do the home makeover and then they come back. And that's the excitement, is to show them what you've done. Mm-hmm. And in our industry, our product looks good. And especially if they've had a beat up frame door or they had a curtain there for years. They just look at their bathroom that they're used to looking crappy, and it's like, wow, and it makes it look so much bigger. If you just catch that reaction and you get five or six of those and put them together and make a reel, cost you nothing to do. It's just an awful lot of fun.
Yeah, I wish I did that, but
think about it. Think about it though. The next time when you're going in, just ask the customer, "Hey, when we show you this at the done, we're going to give you your cleaning instructions and your warranty, but we're going to have a little camera set up. Do you mind?" And if they don't mind, just put a GoPro on a clamp and put it on top of the glass, shooting it back towards them so you can get the reaction coming in.
Yeah, you know, if you don't get the response you want, you can just delete it.
That's all. Move on to the next one.
I had a very emotional customer cry one time. I don't know if I want to show that.
We love tears. That's the best.
Why? Was that because you left the bill there?
No, because she got what she wanted. She was like,
"You're a change, right?"
Nice.
That's awesome. Yeah.
That's good stuff.
You know, that's actually interesting that you say that, because to us, it's just another shower door, right? I mean, yeah, okay, so that one was a really nice one or whatever to us. But to them,
yeah,
it's an emotional experience in many cases.
For me,
right, but it's the culmination of, in some cases, 6 months worth of work on their house. And we're usually the last ones in and last ones out, right? And so when we're done, their project is usually done. And so they're ready to be done. But then they see this amazing looking shower that we had a part in. Yeah, it's an emotional deal for them. It's kind of cool to see.
We have a huge advantage. Our job gets done in the same day. 99.9% of the time. Right. Tile guys, they're there 3, 4, 5 days. The customer's peeking in. It's not a big surprise when the tile's done. It's a big deal when our door's in, though. It's the finishing parts, the icing of the cake.
I call it the finishing touch.
Yeah, the jewelry in the bathroom, right? It's just,
there you go. I like that.
It's amazing. And we're just lucky that we're in this trade, that be able to see that gratification. So you got to capture it and use it, because that's what it's all about.
I mean, good feeling.
How many commercials do you watch that actually exude emotion? Now you're capturing a real life emotion. It's good. And that's the reason for the success for all these not do yourself, but the Flip and Flop and Fixer Upper and Extreme Home Makeover. I mean, that's what the gist is all about. Is that emotion?
Yeah, you make a good point, Bill, about like our job. Usually we're in there in and out like half a day or something, or a day the most. And some customers come in, and check, at least once or twice. You know, some don't, though. Some will just completely stay out of your way. So for them, it's like a total before and after experience where, like you're saying, like with a tile guy, he's there for a week. They see the progress day after day. But with the shower door, I mean, it's not there and then it is, And so it's a big change. And it is an emotional thing. I had someone suggest to me, I think a consultant or something at one time when I was early on, suggest to get, testimonials, just like, hey, just pull out your phone, get a, little testimonial from people. And I did it, several times. I didn't really stick with it like I probably should have. But when I'd have a customer be like really excited and really super stoked, I'd be like, hey, is it okay? Would you mind just doing a quick little testimonial? And a lot of times they say, yeah, sure, I'll do that. What do you want me to say? Well, just make sure you say the name of my company, and your name. And just how you feel about it. And, 10 seconds, 20 seconds, 30 seconds of that. It was like huge. It's phenomenal, the kind of impact that makes on your potential customers. And it's real easy to do. And people are usually willing to do it.
Hey, you know, I'm going to change subjects again because so many interesting things came up tonight. Christina was talking about having the guys in to do work. Then they have a roundtable meeting and they do the game of 100. And they talk about the business. So I saw a video during the holidays where somebody had their kids in. I guess it was in a school class, but they were sitting on the floor and there were six kids around. The teacher was in the middle. And they were just talking about what their life is at home when they leave school. And the kids were a riot. And everybody liked watching it because they were, you know, first, second graders. So they're talking the truth. And they're a lot of fun. But what would be really cool is if you then did it with your business, where you had somebody in your business sit there and you brought in the kids from your installers or your salespeople, five or six kids, say, what do you know about what mom or dad does at work during the day? What do they tell you? Do they like their job? And that could be a riot. I mean, you could make a show off of that.
That's a great idea, man.
It would be super. I mean, we're thinking of getting focus groups just with customers to say, hey, we're going to film you. You know, we'll give you dinner or whatever, but I'd like to hear your whole experience. Why did you even pick us? Why, you know, I'm sure you shopped two or three places. You may have gone to a big box store. Why did you settle on us? And now when it's said and done, are you happy or do you wish you should have gone somewhere else? And just to hear from the heart, that's so powerful. And then you can use that moving forward to see what you need to strengthen yourself or your position yourself better. I mean, focus groups are important. You see them done on big topics, but there's no reason why you can't do it no matter what size business you have. You've got a list of customers. You've probably got 10 of them that have given you reviews. And if they've gone that far to give you reviews, they'll probably be open to come in, spend an hour, hour and a half with other customers and just chit chat. Oh yeah, I called ABC and they didn't return my call. The guy came and measured it and he never gave me the estimate. I didn't feel good because this guy smelled like smoke and he, you know, gave me a ratty piece of paper with an estimate or, you know, he gave me a ballpark. I mean, I feel comfortable with you guys because you gave me a professional proposal. You presented yourself well. I've got good reviews. I read good reviews. So you want to see what their hot buttons are. That's powerful.
It really is.
It made me think of it on the day, you know, Christina was saying guys are sitting around because, you know, installers hear it a lot. You've already sold the job. Some of these customers open up to the installers. Yeah, I wasn't sure I was going to go with that. But, you know, the sales guy did such a good job. And I really had a comfort level. Well, that tells you a lot if you can get that information back to the owner.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you go out on sales calls and talk to people, it's amazing what people will tell you. I mean, it's like being a counselor or something. When you show up at somebody's house, they tell you the whole story of what their house used to be like and what the contractor was like. And I got this contractor and he did this, so I had to get a different contractor. And then the plumbing company did this and then they didn't do that. You know, it's like, I mean, they'll tell you their whole life story.
We're getting these on a daily basis as people are rebuilding from the hurricane and they're getting back into their houses. And the horror stories they went through with their contractors. And like, you're the only company that showed up when they said they were going to show up and you did the job in one day.
Yeah.
I went through, you know, roofing, flooring, tile, plumbers, electricians, sheetrockers. Nobody showed up when they said they were going to. They left a mess. And all of a sudden we're going in there, we're laying blankets down and we're cleaning up after ourselves. Lots of times the bathroom looks cleaner when we leave than before we got there. But
yep.
Man, what an impression. Like you're the only company after 10 other subs that you had in here that actually did what they said they were going to do on time. They got exactly what they expected to get. You got a customer that say a testimonial about that. That's important too, because there's probably not a homeowner around that hasn't had a situation with one of their contractors that something went wrong. And then it's a matter of how was it handled.
Yeah, that's funny. I mean, I hear that a lot. Like you're the only company that did what you said you would do. I think, wow, man, how do people stay in business? How do all these companies stay in business like that? You know? I mean, I'm not sure they do.
Unfortunately, our industry needs a group like this to raise the level, and I think we're doing that. The guys that are on here on a weekly basis care enough about their business to raise the professional standards to a level that puts us above the average tradesman. You know, and I've got a project going on here at my house right now, and a couple of these tradesmen, they're really good, and they could be doing better, but they're really good. I mean, they call, they're on time. We're scheduled a week and a half out, you know, to a 1 hour window of when they're going to be here. And son of a gun, they're here. And I would use those guys over and over and over again, even if they cost more money. I would do it just for aggravation purposes and my personal schedule. So lots of times we go into different cities and it's not about price. It's not about price. Everyone says it is because that's what they're used to saying. But it's about quality. Quality beats down price every single time in every single market.
Exactly.
Always about quality.
Absolutely true. You know, and it's funny, we were talking at the meeting on Tuesday, the co-op meeting, and the topic came up about pricing and how, you know, you have to be careful about whenever you get together in a group like this. One thing you have to look out for is like talking too much, too specifically about pricing, because, you know, it's against the law to fix prices. And, you know, so if a lot of business owners get together and start talking about pricing, there's like, hey, you're getting a kind of a shaky ground, you know? And so, I mean, and we never even come close to anything like that in any of our discussions. That doesn't concern me at all. But, you know, the one thing that I will always say about pricing is like, don't set your price too low. Now I'm going to tell you what to set your price at, you know, or what we should all set our price at or anything like that. And I think it's good to have different, you know, to have different pricing. I mean, you want to do that. You want to have that good, friendly competition. But I always tell people, it's like, you don't want to be competing with the next guy to have the lowest price. There is like no future. Make sure that you're charging enough, whatever that might be for you. And when people say, you know, and probably everybody on this call has heard me say, you know, they'll be like, oh man, I'm busy. And my question is always, are you charging enough? You know, and most of the time they'll say, Yeah, I know, I'm doing just fine. Like right on, you know, good. That's what I like to hear, you know. I want you to be busy and I want you to be charging enough, you know, because you deserve it, man. You know, like Bill says, you know, we're providing a quality product. We're better than the other guys, you know. We're not those guys working out, you know, back of the trucks or, you know, working out of a storage unit or something. You know? It's like we're professionals, we're shower door professionals. You know, and you deserve to charge a fair, you know, not exorbitant, but a fair price for the work that you do.
And I got a question for some of you guys related to that particular topic. How do you, like, if you get a call for a quote on a shower door and it goes to the conversation, you know, where the customer says, you know, I got another quote from another guy and he was, you know, $500 cheaper than you. How do you go about communicating, and do you go about communicating and trying to explain to the potential customer at that particular point in time, you know, the difference in the difference related to cost in conjunction with, you know, a difference in related to potential quality? Do you even get into that conversation and try to explain yourself, or do you kind of just chalk it up to a loss at that point for someone that's just shopping around for a cheap, you know, a cheap shower door? Do you kind of just let it go? And I ask because it came up actually twice for me today on two different One was just a fixed panel for like a partition piece of glass. I don't remember the exact size. I want to say it was 48 by 36, mounted to the wall, you know, four clamps. I think I was in the neighborhood of like $800 or something. And he came back and said, I got a guy that, you know, he's going to put it in for 350. You know, he was, and he gave me the breakdown, you know, that he's getting the glass. He's selling me the glass for 110. The clips are 70. And he's going to put it in for $150. And I was like, okay, you know, and I felt almost an obligation to sort of explain myself and, you know, almost with a sense of self-defense, and an explanation to try and get this particular person to understand, like, you know, my price is my price because there's a value and a quality that I bring to the table that, you know, you may not see until the job is done, but it's there, you know. And the other one was for a shower door, and I think it was a neo angle shower with 2 half-inch panels and a 3/8 door. And I came in at like 25, and I think he's like, you know, I got another guy I've used before and he's going to do it for 18. And I said, okay, well, you know, if you've used this guy before and you're confident in his ability and his quality and his craftsmanship, then, you know, it would be silly to not go with him. But, you know, I'm questioning why you came to me in the first place.
Yeah. You know? I kind of take it case by case, because I've had some in similar instances, like, you know, certain people that either have dealt with my dad or, you know, in conjunction, you know, somewhere, just randoms too that call in and, you know, want me to go out and, you know, I'm measuring, you know, 3-4 showers. And I had one guy hit me with, oh yeah, you were like, you know, $3,000 off. You know, I came to you because I thought you were going to beat their price. And I'm like, okay, you wanted Starfire, you wanted, you know, 8-foot showers and all this, you know, crazy stuff. And I was like, you know, if I break it down. And then I was like, as I was talking to him, I was like, why am I even, obviously he's not going to go with me. I'm not going to drop my price $3,000, you know? So I was like, you know what? I just chalked it up as a loss and just, you know, okay, obviously you're happy with, you know, with that. So just go with that. I'm not going to be the cheapest in town, but I'm also not the expensive, you know. I've seen competitive bids before, you know, with people, you know, where if I'm within like $100 to maybe $200, you know, sometimes I can, you know, figure it out if needed, if I really want to. But most of the time, if it's some crazy like dirt cheap low, I'm like, well, there must be something that isn't, you know, the same with what I'm quoting you. There's something off, because I shouldn't be that far off in price. Or he's just giving away and trying to gain your business. So, you know, I just chalk it up as a loss at that point.
And it's tough, because as for the homeowner and the customer, right, it's, I mean, really, it's of no fault of their own. There's a level of ignorance, right, where they just don't know. And I feel sometimes like it's part of our responsibility, whether I'm going to get the job or not. I feel like part of my responsibility, you know, in them contacting me in the first place is to explain and help them better understand why there may be such a difference in pricing, you know, related to, you know, certain, you know, tolerances and specs and, you know, guidelines and industry suggestions and recommendations that may not be followed by the other guy. And, you know, that it should be somewhat of a concern, especially when dealing with, you know, heavy architectural glass applications. I mean, there's a major, major safety issue, especially in a wet space, like a shower door. I mean, you know, if you get a guy that's hanging a 30 inch by 80 inch door off a panel that's only fixed to the wall with a, you know, a regular clamp, like the homeowner doesn't know that that's not really appropriate, and it could turn disastrous in the blink of an eye, you know. And again, it's of no fault of their own for not knowing, and some people are receptive to it, to the explanation, and some people are not, you know, and I don't know if I'm sometimes just like wasting my breath and wasting my time. I mean, I guess that's the internal struggle, right? Like,
we should pick up more on this next week. This is such a huge
I was thinking
topic.
The same thing, Bill. It's like
it's a huge topic.
Yeah, we're all out of time now, and this is a great topic, man. I could just launch for another hour on this right now.
Yeah.
How to overcome objections or pricing objections.
Yeah. Let's pick up on this for
that's a good
real
subject.
Next week and make that the topic. So.
Chris, why don't you go ahead and post it? So some of these guys that haven't logged on, at least they'll know what the topic's going to be about.
I will. I'll do that. I'll do that. And I'm going to reach out to Greg Abrams and see about getting him to come on and host.
Sounds
all
good.
Right. Hey, everyone. Thanks so much. That was a great talk.
Thank you.
Good
enjoy
night,
the rest of your evening. We'll see you next time.
See you next week.
See you, everybody. Good night.
Stay dry wherever you're at.
Hey, this is Chris Phillips, and I want to thank you for listening to the podcast. You may want to join the Shower Door Professionals group on Facebook. Just go to Facebook and search for Shower Door Pros, and you'll find us. I look forward to seeing you.